in our business, some of our small customers could be a $10 collection. Well, when you're paying somebody more than $10 an hour, that's not really worth our time for them to be spending on trying to collect that $10. So what tools can we implement to automate that?
Welcome to Collecting Thoughts, CNR Software's new podcast. We're your one-stop shop for digestible industry news, anecdotes, and advice as told by the boots-on-the-ground industry leaders and subject matter experts. We'll be covering topics across the collection space, technology, and finance. I'm your host, Christina, and I'm happy to have you join us. Today's guest is Eric Madison. Eric is the Director of Billing and AR Services at VSP Vision. He's been a leader in the financial services industry for over 15 years, spending the last 9 years leading AR and collections teams. He brings a unique perspective gained from his collegiate and professional sports background. Focusing on data commitment and customer and employee experience, his goal is to drive teamwork, satisfaction, and results. Eric, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Christina.
So I'm really interested to hear about your background, especially reading that you have some professional sport experience. So how did you go from that and then landing into being a leader in the collection space?
Yeah, I'm sure like every athlete, your goal is always to try and reach that next level, whether it's college or professional sports. And I was lucky enough to do that. Played two sports in college. I played soccer and baseball and then went on to play baseball professionally for a year. But like any athlete, injuries always can come up, and that's what ended my professional career as a pitcher. So I had shoulder, elbow surgery, and that kind of ended my professional sports career. And so from there, I got started into the financial services industry, started in banking, working in branches, started as a teller, then slowly worked my way up through leadership, then moved into the lending side of banking, doing first mortgages, second mortgages. And then from there, moved into insurance and handling billing and collections for VSP Vision and their team. So all throughout my background, I've been leaders, been captains of a team, been on committees, trying to improve the experience of athletes, of my teammates, of my colleagues. And that just has translated into my business professional career. And there's a lot of similarities between athletics and the business world. We all set goals. We all have to have a strategy on how we're going to win the game or how we're going to improve our business. And so all of those things from my athletic background has really built me into the leader who I am today to help set that direction for, you know, how we're going to achieve the goals that the company has, goals that we set as a team. And it just really helps bring everybody together to achieve what we want to.
Very unique perspective, perfect for today's topic, which is, I know you've been the director of collections at VSP for almost 10 years, 9 years now. So I kind of wanted to talk to you about how you've seen the industry evolve, how you've looked at past performance to identify pain points and tweak them. And obviously you already mentioned the connection, but in sports, you know, you're always looking at film and seeing how can you fix things and tweak your strategy to improve. So I guess we'll just start back at the beginning. You know, when you joined the collection space, VSP, 9 years ago, and you kind of came in, you already had the financial services background. How did you start approaching things? What was the collections industry like? Paint the picture.
Yeah, I think it was just trying to ground myself in where the industry was at, where the company was at, and trying to understand what was needed and where we wanted to get to. You know, that's kind of the basis for anything is building that foundation, building that knowledge. And the challenge that we had when I first started was data, was trying to understand really where are we at. We have very few data points on that. And if you look at, you know, sports today, if you watch football on Sundays, right, you see they're popping up all kinds of stats on the screen, you know, the percentage that they're going to catch it, you know, how fast they're running, all these different things, all these analytics that are available today. It was the same for business. We didn't have that. So we don't really know how our business was performing. We had very few performance indicators that we were using to try to determine where we were successful, where we weren't successful. So getting to that point of knowing this is what we have. Okay, how do we work through with that? What are those key drivers to improve that performance? And as we've seen it evolve, we always knew it was going to be data related. How do we get more data to understand different business segments that we have? How do we, can we use that data to set our strategy to improve our position? When I first started, we were on average anywhere between $15 to $20 million that we needed to collect on each month. To where we are at today, now that we've got all this data and where we've evolved to, is we're around $6 to $7 million that we have to collect on every month. So,
okay, so cutting it more in half.
Yeah. So it's just seeing how the data and how we've been able to improve with really understanding what we needed, how people were performing, how we can improve that performance, right? It's just like an athlete, right? You practice, you see the things where you need to improve, you try different things. And that's what's led us to where we are today, is just this evolution over the last 9 years of, all right, here's what we need. Now we've got it. Now how do we keep improving upon that?
And when you tackle the data problem, right, which is definitely something that all companies grapple with, right, because you have so much. It's so much and it's everywhere. So how did you decide where to start pinpointing and collecting and figuring out what was going to help you get to those goals?
I'm a data person, so I love data. So seeing all the data that we had, I was very happy. But to your point, right, it can become overwhelming in what is the right data and what is the story that data is telling. That's where you have to make decisions as a leader of what's important and start building on that. So focusing in one area, and that's kind of what we did. We focused on greater than 30-day aging and started using the data. Okay, how are we doing now? How do we get better insights into that? And then we started building off of those things. Then we could start getting more complex with our data analysis as we learned from some of the basic things that we were doing, becoming successful in there. Then we could start branching out and say, okay, now what if we did this? And so some of the other things that we did where we viewed everyone as one giant pool of customer, we started breaking out our customers into different segments. So then we could start treating them a little bit differently. And that allowed us to then start bringing in automation using different system tools, better utilizing our resources versus just telling everybody, here, treat everybody the same. You need to make a call, you need to email, you need to do this. We were starting to able to really focus our team on the accounts that we really needed them to focus on and use automation or deprioritize maybe some of the other things that they were working on that they themselves were prioritizing. So just kind of using those basic things and starting to build in the complexities.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can imagine, I mean, you bringing up the automation, already talking about how you were able to fix the outreach strategies. I'm sure once you got a more clear picture of the data, you can figure out how you can evolve beyond that. Like you mentioned, bringing other tools. How can we bring in more customer centricity to our goals and measure that as a KPI, as opposed to just the, did they pay? Did they not pay? How can we get more to pay?
We use some of our starting points with our largest dollars. So we had, these are our most important things that we needed to collect on. And so that's where we were able to refocus everyone's priority is, you know, here's our kind of key delinquencies and collections that we need to bring in. And so setting that range is what helped us create that focus and letting everybody know, here's the most important things. And then using that automation and say, okay, here's some of our small customers. And in our business, some of our small customers could be a $10 collection. Well, when you're paying somebody more than $10 an hour, that's not really worth our time for them to be spending on trying to collect that $10. So what tools can we implement to automate that? And so as we were evaluating our systems, we sometimes didn't have that capability just to say, here, do this, send this automatically. We had to work with other internal partners like marketing saying, hey, can we send you a list of emails? Can you send emails out for us? And so utilizing other portions of our company to help us with our collection efforts to create the efficiencies for us so that we could focus on those highest dollars while not losing sight of where some of the bulk of our customers are on that smaller end while still staying in contact with them and being more consistent with it as well, right? As we may deprioritize smaller amounts, we may never reach out to that, but by utilizing our marketing team and their email tools, we were able to pull that in and create some of that efficiency, some of that automation that we could use their tools while we were evolving our systems to where eventually we now have some automation that we can control ourselves within our own business.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. Like you said, it's not necessarily worth putting all hands on deck for these smaller collections, But it's also a way to look at this as why the people in collections are, it's just a part of their entire credit life cycle, and the company as a whole can tackle the strategies differently while collaborating. It's not like they're just over here in collections and marketing can only work on retention and acquisition. Like, it should all be considered into one credit life cycle as a whole.
Yeah, that definitely helps, because I know everybody wants the, you know, the big shiny tools that are out there, you know, the cloud-based collection type tools. But that takes a while to get them implemented, get approvals for projects to build those into your systems when you may already have some of those tools available in other areas. And so that's one of the things that we realized and started utilizing is that, hey, what do other areas have in already that we can utilize while we're starting to build out our system strategy?
And it definitely sounds like you've built out a lot relying on certain technology to help you. Can you talk a little about that? What technology do you use? Have you started dabbling in AI at all?
Yeah, so we're starting to get into the AI space. So we haven't implemented anything as far as AI in our business, but we do have some ideas. That's going down the kind of reconciling, validating collections, so doing audits on clients' accounts. So can we use AI to do that function versus a person? And so essentially, can we hit a button and it's done versus spending hours trying to line everything up on what happened on the account and really proving it to the customer or the collection, like, hey, yeah, you did miss this payment, you missed these payments, or here's what happened, you know, trying to save that time. So that's where we're going with AI. But in the meantime, we've used technology like RPA, robotic processing automation, and trying to do some of those things for us to speed up the process. So kind of going back to that reconciliation, you know, did a customer partial pay us? Is it something we want to collect on? Or do we just kind of want to write it off or adjust it off their account? And so when we make those decisions, that's a manual process. What we've done is we've used RPA to essentially take that manual process and automate it. So once we make that decision, we can mark that, and then a program will run overnight and we'll do those manual steps that takes 5 to 7 minutes, depending on how complex things can be for a user, where it takes a fraction of a second for RPA to do those. So we're getting through a lot more things. And that's, again, allowing us to focus on the things that really need our attention to collect on versus what may be noise on an account or a dispute or things that we can make quick decisions on and say, do we really want to focus our time on collecting this? Or, you know, really from a customer experience, do we want to reach out to them and say, hey, you sent us a payment. Is it close enough? Yeah. Or do we want to try and potentially irritate a customer saying, hey, you already paid us some, but you didn't pay us enough. We need to collect this extra money from you. So it's making those decisions and making it easier for our team to make those decisions and move on to the next thing without having to spend the actual processing time to process it on the account, that we've got these tools on the background that help us do that. So allowing us more time for decision making and customer contact when we need to contact a customer.
All of this is kind of leading into the what's next, right? So when you got here 9 years ago, you got all of this data and you got to explore and bucket people and really evolve the collection strategy to what it is today. So not even necessarily at BSP, but from your experience, where would you like to see the collections industry go next?
It's going to be more in the automation and AI space. Is how can we utilize tools for customers to self-service? How can we have some more automation capabilities to improve the employee and customer experience?
Right.
It's never fun trying to figure out what's happened, then go and try and have a conversation with somebody, say, you owe us more money, or we need to collect money from you. So how can we make that experience easier, more understandable, and for the employee and the customer know exactly what happened, and then create that consistent experience over and over again, so it doesn't become this contention between customer and company or customer and collection agency trying to get this dispute or this difference figured out. So I think that's where it's going to go, is to make it easier.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like that you mentioned the employee satisfaction as well, because as all of this new technology comes out and companies are implementing it, it's really at the benefit of the team, right? They get more time to spend on maybe more thought-provoking or time-intensive cases so that those customers can leave with a good experience. And they also don't have to do as much like tedious manual work because the automation is handling that.
Yeah, it is. The biggest challenge we face is essentially the employee's fear is that I'll be replaced by AI. And, you know, I think that's one of the biggest myths about AI is that, you know, it's not going to replace people. There's always going to be the need for a person to be involved in the process. That's where we're really evolving. Our team is looking at the skills that we need, because with AI, like you said, some of those mundane, tedious processes are what AI is doing. And so now we're requiring more critical thinking, complex thinking. So how are we preparing our employees for this new environment that they'll be in where they're having to do some more of those things? So we're focusing more on training, education, getting them prepared for the things that we need them to do, where it may be a little more complex than what they have done before. And so that we're ready to handle those things, because AI won't be able to handle everything. Every business has its nuance. Every scenario has its nuance on what's happening. And it's just not there yet. We need somebody in the chair looking at that, thinking about those things, identifying them, and then communicating them out to the customer to explain what's happening, why we're reaching out.
Eric, it has been really great speaking with you today. Is there anything else you want to touch on before we sign off?
No, we don't have anything else. Thanks. It was great talking with you, Christina.
Great. You too. Have a good rest of your day.